AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is a beautiful day in Texarkana, Texas. I hope it's pretty where you are. I want to read to you from Nehemiah chapter 4, one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. I mentioned this yesterday when I was talking to Bob Pearl about his new book, The Courageous Church. And this is what Nehemiah said to the people as they're building this wall, which is a massive wall. It was 30 to 40 feet. It was huge what they were taking on, and they did it in 52 days by God's grace. But, you know, they were threatened. Sanballat, Tobiah, all the people that didn't want the wall, all the enemies and the servants of the devil who didn't want the wall up, didn't want a strong Jerusalem, they were threatening to kill the workers. And Nehemiah said this in Nehemiah 4:14, "When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." What a great verse and what a great word today. What are we supposed to do today? We're supposed to fight, not physically, but we fight on our knees. We stand up. We speak up. We speak the truth in love. We don't back down. We stand up to the onslaught of evil in our nation, and we make a difference, salt and light. We make a difference in our culture for Jesus Christ. Now, one of my favorite guests is Bishop E.W. Jackson, Marine Corps veteran, Harvard-trained lawyer, pastor, author, and the president and founder of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. What I love about Bishop Jackson is he fights for what is right and what is true. So, Bishop, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff, it is a pleasure always to be with you, my friend. And look, Jesus fought for us. We have to fight for him.
Yes. Well, you know, Bishop, you're one of the guys that I admire because you are a fighter and you do stand up and you get shot for it. You get blistered for it. People call you all kinds of names, and you're unique in terms of being a black conservative. They're not just a ton of you guys around, but the liberal left hates guys like you.
Yeah, there are more of us than I think we know, but you're right, not many of us that are out front and willing to speak up, because it has a price to it. You know, often behind the scenes, you are denied. And, you know, people ask me sometimes, well, you know, how much racism have you experienced? And I tell people, you know, I really can't think of a single time when I felt that I was being denied anything because of the color of my skin. But I can give you several instances where, because of my conservatism, I was denied opportunities and doors were slammed in my face. So yeah, there's a price to be paid for it. But, you know, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile you." So, you know, we're just going to march on anyway.
Well, Bishop, you know, I was thinking about a guy like Booker T. Washington, one of the greatest Americans who ever lived. The liberal media, they don't give him his due. They don't give right. Thomas Sowell his due. Thomas Sowell, one of the greatest thinkers, definitely of our generation. Yeah. They don't consider him in conversations and things like that. If either of those guys, and yourself included, if you were to say, okay, I'm for sale, like, what is it, E.W. Du Bois was basically for sale during the same time period as Booker T. Washington, then you would be more popular than Jesse Jackson and all the others.
Oh, look, there is no question. If you're willing to compromise your principles, I mean, for me, I'll tell you, I'll put it even more starkly. If you're willing to stab Jesus in the back, then, you know, I mean, the world will reward you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I say, I was on my way to hell. Jesus saved me and has blessed me and kept me. And I owe my first loyalty to him, not to my skin color, not even to my wife, my children, my grandchildren, as much as I love them. I owe my first loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody is going to get me to turn my back on him or turn my back on the truth of his word.
Amen to that. Okay, Bishop, I want to play a clip that I heard from Greg Gutfeld. It was yesterday. It has to do with the Southern Poverty Law Center, speaking of racism, a group that supposedly was founded in 1971 to combat hate and racism. Yeah. Now we're finding out they were the contributors of hate and racism. And Greg Gutfeld, he has some humorous things to say, but I want to play this clip and get you to comment on it.
As the indictment lays out, after SPLC paid members of these extremist groups, it created work product that reported on these activities that the members participated in or contributed to. And to that end, it was doing the exact opposite of what it's told its donors it was doing. Not dismantling extremism, but funding it.
That's from the DOJ.
I would say you can't make this stuff up, but that's exactly what these hate mongers were doing, funding the very extremist groups it claimed to fight. That's right. The arsonist may have been running the fire department. It's like donating to save the whales and finding out that the money was going to feed the View. See, the SPLC had a problem. People just weren't being racist enough to keep them in business, no matter how many times Jesse calls Charles Payne Al Roker. After all, your fundraising, your relevance, and media hits depend on the existence of widespread hate. But what happens when there isn't any? Time to hire an intern who knows how to tie a noose.
All right, Bishop. Thoughts? Look,
he is absolutely right. I've been saying this for years. The whole race industry requires ginning up problems that aren't there in order to justify their continued existence, because the country has moved past it. I am convinced that 99.9% of the American people could care less what the color of a person's skin is. They care about that person's character, that right. person's decency and honor. And yet the left continues to tell us there's a racist boogeyman in every closet, right, you know, right. in every corner, and we're going to save you. So you have to vote for us and keep us in power in order to save you from the boogeyman. And this is it. I mean, it's now been clearly exposed. They spent millions of dollars trying to strengthen these fringe racist organizations to convince people that they're a real threat and they're a real danger and that America is truly racist. And I am so grateful to God and this Justice Department has exposed this, and I hope that they throw these people in jail who were responsible for this, because they're manipulating and defrauding and robbing people, taking their money to fund the very thing that they say they're dedicated to stopping. And by the way, while declaring people like you and me and right. AFA and Family Research Council, we're the hate groups
right.
that everybody needs to be concerned about.
Right. Well, Joe Biden, he goes on to say in that clip that Joe Biden said, you know, their number one enemy in America is white supremacists. He doesn't say anything about Antifa, doesn't say anything about the Islamic groups. Mm-hmm. It's white supremacists, which most of us would look at that and just say, this is ridiculous. I don't know any white. I mean, do they exist? Yes. I don't see them around, but I do see Antifa everywhere. There's some kind of issue.
And you know, Pastor Jeff, since the Defund the Police movement began, 700 children in the inner city have been murdered. 700. Mm. And they haven't been murdered by Ku Klux Klansmen. They haven't been murdered by police officers. They've been murdered by young black men marauding through these neighborhoods like it's the Wild Wild West and not caring who they kill. But you won't hear any talk about that because we're too busy pushing the racial narrative.
Yeah, it's just sickening. Well, okay, so you had mentioned, Bishop, in all your travels and in speaking to this group, that group, and the other group, I know when you come to our church loves you. Now, we're a white congregation primarily, but I don't know if you speak at a black church versus a white church, is it a different reception?
It depends on the church and it depends on the pastor. To tell you the truth, I won't get an opportunity to speak at most black congregations because, frankly, to be very blunt, most black congregations are led by pastors who are much more into being Democrats and being leftists than they are into being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they don't like me because I'm committed to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. My identity is not in my skin color. My identity is in my relationship to Him. And frankly, some of them, they just don't like that because they're pushing racial identity and racial narrative. I always say their real God is race. Their real mm-hmm. religion is the Democrat Party. But there are many, to thank God, there are many, not enough, but many biblical worldview pastors out there who happen to be black. And I go to those congregations and we just have a wonderful time because they love the word of God and so do I. And they know that we are all human beings facing the same problem with sin and needing the same solution, which is Jesus.
Amen. Well, I want to ask you about this, Bishop. Activist judges, we're really starting to feel the effects of these judges that give these fraudsters, especially in Minnesota, a slap on the wrist. Oh, you stole $7 million in Medicaid fraud. Well, as this one judge overturned the jury's verdict, Sarah West, let the guy walk. A $7.2 million Medicaid fraud that was unanimously voted on by the jury that this guy's guilty. I heard one of the jurors say it took us all of 4 hours to say this guy's guilty, and she overturns the whole thing. How do we survive as a country when you have judges that just give people a slap on the wrist or no slap at all?
Well, first of all, of course, we need to pray because we really do need the awakening that's happening in so many parts of the country to just absolutely explode and give these people a revelation because they've been brainwashed all their lives in government schools and universities, and this is really the way they think. I mean, you know, the guy who killed seven of his own children and mm-hmm. killed an eighth that wasn't, this guy had already been arrested for shooting five rounds and near a school. One of those rounds ended up hitting the school because he had a road rage incident with some guy, pulled out a pistol and shot five rounds out in the open square, and he got a slap on the wrist. And now mm-hmm. now he's killed eight kids. Mm-hmm. And we've got this kid in Fairfax County who groped nine girls. Well, he's going to get 140 days in lockup in juvie, and then they're going to let him go and give him 2 years probation. I mean, so, and by the way, he's an illegal alien. Mm. So this stuff is very dangerous, and you can't really persuade these people. I'd like the judge who walked the illegal alien out the back door, who also yes. had some violent felonies on his record. She's now paying the price for that, thank God. But yeah, we need an awakening because these people are so entrenched in this perverse thinking that you can't talk them out of it. They've got to have a spiritual revelation and awakening, and then we got to get back to having our educational system teach people right and wrong as opposed to teaching them this moral relativism that is so prevalent in our culture today.
It's just really mind-blowing. I was wondering, okay, so this judge, Sarah West, in letting this guy off on a $7.2 million Medicaid fraud case. I was asking myself, okay, what is in it for her? Is she getting money somewhere? I mean, why would you do that?
Well, look, when you're indoctrinated and you're brainwashed and you really believe the lie, then you do things that are counter not only to the interests of society at large, but even to your own, but you think you're doing something good. And I think that that's really where these people are. They are deluded.
Yeah, they really are. Well, I don't think they understand that there is good and there is evil. And if you don't punish the evil, the whole thing, you know, as Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And that's my concern for America, is if you don't punish the evil will just run rampant. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, talking to my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson. We're talking about the current events of the day. What is going on in America? We have much to talk about with Virginia. Virginia is in the news with their recent vote and then that getting overturned about their gerrymandering. Lots of important stuff. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my friend Bishop E.W. Jackson. E.W. Jackson is a pastor, an author, a Harvard lawyer, Marine Corps veteran, and he is the president and founder of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. And Bishop, you have a special dinner coming up for STAND. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. It's the STAND Awards dinner. We're going to be giving the George Washington Award for taking a stand. We're going to be giving it posthumously to Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA, but also to Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America Group, and to Bishop Patrick Wooten of Raleigh, North Carolina, and also to Richard Viguerie, 92 years old, one of the sort of the founding fathers of the modern conservative movement. So we're going to have a great time. And look, because AFR and AFA are sponsors of the dinner, we have a table that is set aside for AFR listeners. The tickets are $150, but AFR listeners can come for free. All they got to do is get in touch with us and let us know they want to come. And we still got some seats available at that table, and we'd be happy to accommodate our AFR listeners. In fact, I'll tell them how to do that. Just email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. That's awardsdinner@standinc.net. Or call our office, 757-375-6444. If you're anywhere in the Virginia area and you want to come, you can come at no cost. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Amen to that. Okay, Bishop, we're talking about Virginia. You guys are in the news for a vote that took place on Tuesday that was so deceitful. Just the way it was worded was so deceitful. We're what did they say? Restoring fairness to the democracy or something to that effect. Tell us about that and the latest development where the court overturned that and said you can't do that.
Well, yeah. And first, let me remind people, I'm a lawyer. I retired from the practice of law, practiced law many years. I didn't understand that referendum. I read it. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I didn't know what it meant. But they sold it as a way to restore fairness. I mean, it's just, I've been involved in the political life of our country for 40 years. I have never seen anything sold on a more deceitful basis than this. I mean, they just out and out lied, because what they really intended to do was to create 10 Democrat districts and leave one Republican district. We now have 5. They want to eliminate 4 and leave one as a token and create 10. And they labeled this creating fair elections. Now, I ask you, does that make any sense to anybody with any kind of common sense? Of course not. And it passed by about 2.5 points, mm-hmm. Thank God. So that means, but they're going to disenfranchise 100 1.4 million Virginians who voted against it will now pretty much no longer have any representation in Congress whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God a judge has overturned it as unconstitutional, in part because it was intentionally misleading.
Well, just to let our listeners know, this was the referendum. It was posed as a question, and you answered yes or no. Should the Constitution of Virginia be amended to allow the General Assembly to temporarily adopt new congressional districts to restore fairness in the upcoming elections while ensuring Virginia's standard redistricting process resumes for all future redistricting after the 2030 census? Well, I mean, Bishop, if somebody didn't know and they read that, they were like, well, of course I want to restore fairness because I want fairness. It's the most unfair referendum that could possibly be, perhaps, and yet it goes under the guise of promoting fairness.
I said I didn't understand it because, first of all, in order to restore fairness, that you are presuming that there is something unfair about the nature of our districts. With 5-6, people would argue, based on where Virginia is, that seems relatively balanced and relatively fair. But oh, no. Apparently, even though that's what a nonpartisan redistricting group came up with 6 years ago, that's fundamentally unfair. They're going to change that. So how does that make sense? And then they say they're going to go back to the normal standards. And again, since they get to set the standards, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because by that time, they may have changed those standards to something that nobody would recognize. So it just didn't make any sense at all if anybody thought about what it was they were putting forth. And thank God the judge said, and this is a quote from the judge, I'm pretty sure these were the judge's words, that it was intentionally misleading.
Yes, it definitely was. And I saw a clip, Bishop, that said Abigail Spanberger, when she was running for governor, she specifically said she wasn't going to do that. And then that flipped very quickly.
Well, I call her Abigail Spinberger because you talk about a spin master. I mean, she sold herself as a moderate, and she is about as radical as they come. I mean, new taxes, new gun control measures. She did away with the arrangement that we had with ICE to turn over illegal aliens who had ICE detainers on them. Every sort of the wish list of every radical leftist, she is seeking to implement it.
Okay, Bishop, let me ask you.
Oh, and by the way, can I just mention?
Yes.
350 marijuana retail stores is what they propose for Virginia.
Oh, that'll really help.
Yeah, that'll help a lot.
Okay, so I've thought about this before. Tell me what you think. If you let the Democrats do all that they want to do, you don't fight them on anything. It's just like, okay, you guys can write your own America. Just set it up however you want. It would be such a disaster. It's like New York City. Zoran Mandani is going to destroy that place in record time. He's building the $29 million, $30 million grocery store. Opening in 2029 or something like that. That's always worked well in socialist countries, communist countries, the grocery stores. How long do you think it would take the Democrats and those left-leaning progressives to totally destroy America to where it couldn't come back again if you let them do whatever they wanted to do?
If you let them do whatever they want to do, I think it would take about a year. I really do. Because, see, I think they have no problem trampling. They always, they use the word democracy, but that's code language, which means once we're in power, we can do whatever we want to do. That's really what they mean. Mm-hmm. And we see that, what they're doing in Virginia, we see it all over the country. Once they get power, they basically trample the rights of anybody who doesn't agree with them. So, for example, if you're a parent and you don't agree with all this transgender stuff, they tell you, well, we'll take your child away and operate on your child anyway. So, I mean, they trample that they don't like the Constitution because it inhibits the power, it prohibits and limits the power of government, and they don't like that. So I'd say if you let them have their way, in about a year's time, this country would be unrecognizable. It would probably take a while for the economic collapse to come, but I'll tell you, the social and political tyranny that we would experience within a very short time, I think would be cataclysmic.
Okay, so reverse that. If you let President Trump and conservatives totally have their way, what does America look like?
I think individual liberty will flourish like never before, because we understand that's what built this country. This country wasn't built by government bureaucracy. I mean, government can help in doing some things that we can't do individually for ourselves, but unleashing the productive and creative capacities and energies of the American people, that's what made us the greatest nation on earth, within an atmosphere of Judeo-Christian values and principles. I mean, the left would completely sanitize this nation of God. And conservatives, like they've done in Texas, we want the Ten Commandments up. We want to be reminded that our rights and our liberties come from Almighty God, not from government. So I think we would see a renaissance if conservatives could actually implement the policies that I believe built this nation. The Judeo-Christian foundations of this nation were restored and made vibrant. I think we would see a renaissance. In fact, with 250 years coming up and historians saying that's when great nations begin their descent into collapse, I would say we would see a renaissance and America would shine brighter than ever if that were to happen.
Now, Bishop, I was doing a little research and finding out about your eschatology. You and I have never really talked about eschatology, but you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So how do you view, and I appreciate the fact that you're fighting for the country, you're fighting for a revival and an awakening. But you and I both know that the Bible paints the picture, you know, in the last days, difficult times will come. Mm-hmm. Things are probably not going to get better and better and better. We might have these little reprieves of things. I think President Trump is a reprieve of law and order and things like that. But how do you view between now and the rapture, how do you view the things that will take place in America?
Well, you know, I look at sort of the cosmic picture, the entire country and the world, in the same way I look at the micro picture. So, for example, we know the world is going to get worse and worse, but you don't want your children lost.
Right.
You don't say, well, you know, the world's going to get, I mean, so my children are going to probably go to hell, and, you know, what can you do about it? No, you're going to do everything in your power to make sure that they know the truth and that they are part of the rapture, that they are part of God's plan for mankind. And so I feel the same way about our families and about our country, that it is up to us as Christians to do everything we can to make sure that we are on God's side, that the place we live is on God's side. You know, Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I've often said that wouldn't be there if it weren't, were it not that God wants us to do what we can to make sure that our nation's God is the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we do what we can to try to make sure that we are on God's side, so that as many as possible will be in the rapture when that time comes, rather than just say, well, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Right. And we just going about our business until it does.
Right. Yeah. Good answer to that. I would agree. Okay. Let's talk about the war in Iran. I had a guest on, Rod Martin, last week, and I asked him, I said, is this a winnable war? Because when you're fighting, I mean, Iran is being decimated, but those guys are, they're cool with dying. That's kind of in their DNA. And when you go to the negotiating table with them as radical Muslims, I mean, their only negotiating is, well, you die and we win. I mean, there's not a lot of negotiating with them. This isn't a real estate deal. And I'm not so sure President Trump understands the mindset of a radical Muslim.
I don't know that he does either, and because really understanding that mindset to me really requires some spiritual insight into the nature of idolatry, because they are idolaters. Mm-hmm. And so they have a very perverse view of life and the world. And you're right, they've said, we love death. you Americans love life. We love death. And so we will always defeat you. Here is my hope that President Trump will do what is necessary, because I don't know whether the society of Iran can be saved, because I think there's so much internal corruption that it may be unsalvageable. But I don't want them to have a nuclear weapon.
Right.
I don't want them to be in a position to threaten the well-being of America or Israel. And I hope that President Trump understands that if that takes literally bringing them to their knees to the point where they just relent, because there's nothing else that they can do, where you've killed enough of them, you've destroyed enough of their infrastructure, that there's simply nothing else that they can do but surrender. I would be satisfied with that, because I really think that they really are a threat to our country, a threat to Israel, and a threat to world peace.
Well, they definitely are, and it's just it's a difficult thing. Obviously, we don't want to put troops in there, but it's hard to win a war without ground troops.
Yeah, that is true. But you know, I think of it this way: winning the war is not. I don't think of it that way in terms of in sort of classical warfare. What I see us doing is destroying their ability to pursue any aggressive actions against anyone in any significant way. That's how I view this. So, you know, I always say that the purpose of war is really not to, Rush Limbaugh famously said, you know, the purpose of war is to break things and kill people. I say, well, no, actually, that's not the purpose of war. That's a byproduct of war. The purpose of war is to destroy the enemy's will to fight. That's why you wage it. You wage it until the enemy says, okay, I will stop fighting. Now, that doesn't mean there wouldn't be guerrilla warfare in Iran and all kinds of, who knows, the internal problems they're going to go through. But I'll settle for that as long as they're not trying to project power outside and with any ability to reach us. So you're right. I don't think in the classic sense, I think there are people in Iran, unless they're dead, they're never going to give up, because they're fanatics.
Yes. Yeah, and it's like dealing with Hamas in Gaza. I mean, unless you eradicate that group, it's like a cancer cell. It just keeps going and growing, and it's awful. I know that I have some friends in Israel, and they just get so frustrated when President Trump acts like you can sit down at the negotiating table with these people, because they know firsthand there's no negotiating with a radical Muslim.
And you're right. And I think he's going to find that out maybe the hard way. But yeah, I think talking to these people is probably a waste of time. But I think he also feels he's got to do it to justify the military action.
Right. That's a good point. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, talking about current events. We had mentioned Nehemiah 4:14, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight. And that's what God has called us to do as salt and light, as soldiers of the cross. We're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment for Bishop E.W. Jackson, we'd love to take your call and talk to you. So pick up the phone, give us a call, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. Before we get back into our subject, I want to just encourage you to go to afa.net/summit. Find out about Activate Summit 2026. It's July 16th through the 18th in Tupelo, Mississippi at the Caden Bank Conference Center, beautiful conference center there. It's for the whole family, a conference for the whole family. The cost is $175 for ages 13 and up. and there's special deals going on. We're going to talk about From Roots to Fruit, Grounded in Truth, Growing in Grace. Topics will include what will it take for our country to overturn the Obergefell decision and return to a biblical definition of marriage, how to raise godly children in an LGBTQ-saturated world, how to honor God when it seems like your family is falling apart, how to guide your children through a world of technology and social media. I'm going to be one of the speakers there. We have a special Friday night meet and greet. I'm looking forward to that. And so love for you to be a part of that. It's going to be a great, great conference. So go to afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit, and find out more. And I hope to see you there. Okay, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment for Bishop E.W. Jackson, we'd love to take your call. And the lines are lighting up. So we have Sammy on the line from Texas. Sammy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pat, thank you, Pastor Jeff and Bishop Jackson. Most churches have what I call John the Baptist signs out in front of their churches, where it's like a voice, could be like a voice crying in the wilderness to address the issues, but so many times they just put trite little sayings or things that really don't mean anything. And I just want to encourage churches to use those signs where they can change the lettering and address the issues that are confronting our nation. And also, I just want to ask that AFR would pray more over the air, and that we'd hear God say, "You ain't seen nothing yet."
Yes, I love that. That's a good word, Sammy, especially the Amen. Prayer. Bishop had talked about, you know, we desperately need to be praying for America and praying for our children, our grandchildren. You know, Bishop, what are we, when you think about a relay race from one generation to the next, if we as Christians don't pass the baton of faith to our children and grandchildren, we're not going to hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
You know, that family conference really rings a bell with me, because you're right, and the family is the primary place where that baton is supposed to be passed. We know that we can't count on the schools to do it, some great Christian schools, but, you know, not enough of them, and most people are still in government schools. We've got to do it in our families. We've got to pass on these values, these biblical values, to our children. I want to underscore what he said, too, because, you know, so many churches are avoiding the issues because they think they're divisive. But, you know, Jesus said, "Think not that I came to the earth." He said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Right. "I came to divide." Because, I mean, either you're for God or you're against him. And I think the church needs to be a place where people hear that in bold, stark terms, that, you know, we are on the Lord's side, and whatever God says is right, and whatever the world says in disagreement with God is wrong. And we're right. Never going to be ashamed to say. I mean, let me add, for example, you talk about marriage. I say people are complaining about guys playing on girls' sports. I said, but the door was open the moment you accepted homosexuality as a sexual orientation, and the moment you accepted homosexual marriage or so-called same-sex marriage, you opened the door, and now the floodgates have happened. The floodgates are thrown open, and the flood is rushing in, and people want to complain about some of the results. But you got to go back to the beginning and get rid of this notion that homosexuality is good or right or appropriate, or there's any such thing as a homosexual marriage.
Mm. Amen to that. Well, thank you, Sammy. I appreciate that. We have Ronnie on the line from Alabama. Ronnie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff and Bishop Jackson. My question was for Bishop Jackson, and it's something that really concerns me, is the fact that our Navy and our Air Force hadn't been able to take out these small boats that are attacking the merchant ships that try to pass over in the Straits of Hormuz, but they are able to take out the drug boats in the Caribbean and the Pacific. So something don't add up there to me. And I was wondering what Bishop Jackson thought about that.
Well, look, I think you raise a very, very important question. And now I'm just going to give you my speculation. I don't have any inside knowledge about this. But see, I really think that accusations of genocide and of war crimes, I think that that has had an impact on President Trump and on our military forces there. I think they've got to have an all-in approach and basically destroy everything that moves from a military perspective, destroy everything that moves. And I think they've kind of, even maintaining the so-called ceasefire while they're attacking certain ships coming through the Strait of Hormuz, it does leave you with a kind of question. And I think that's part of it. I think that that propaganda campaign against the president, calling him a war criminal, all of that, I think that that has done what it often does in our conflicts, military conflicts, which is restrains the military so that they don't get bad PR.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, either you're going to play to win or you're just going to be, I mean, how long do you want to do this dance? You got to put the pedal to the metal, so to speak.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff, in their territory, they can play the game of attrition.
Yes.
We can't, because the American people are not going to stand for us to just be there forever. So, right. Yeah.
Right. Very good. Okay, we have Claude on the line from Oklahoma. Claude, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I, in high school, and so we took civics and we took the Constitution and about the balance of power, and that the judicial branch should be the weakest branch. But I can't understand with our Constitution and everything how this is all happening in the first place. Guys in the restrooms and everything else, these judges allowing these people to escape and then turning over decisions. And if our Constitution is so perfect, which I thought it was, how is this happening? And the judges trying to debate whatever the president decides, and then there's no punishment for them, and we debate this, whatever happens, you know, then don't know what a man is, and these people get elected. I just don't understand how this should all take place, since our system is it's just like we the Republicans chase a car, and when they get it, they don't know what to do with it. So mm-hmm. I just want to listen to okay. him respond yeah. on that.
Okay, so Bishop, he's talking about balance of powers.
Yeah.
It seems like the judicial branch then starts to take powers that they don't have. How do you see that?
Well, look, you all know that, you know, your audience knows, I graduated from Harvard Law School, practiced law for many years. You may not know, I've said this from time to time publicly, I spent 3 years in law school, we were never once required to read the Constitution, not once, not in any class. We were only required to read what judges said about the Constitution. And I think that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is we have kind of become untethered from the words of the Constitution and focused instead on the social movements and the trends and this kind of thing. And judges are busy trying to accommodate that rather than simply adhering to the strict language of the Constitution. Because if they did that, there are a lot of things government's doing now that it wouldn't be doing. Because the judges would say, well, wait a minute, where's the authority of the Constitution to do this? Mm-hmm. So he's absolutely right. All of this, I mean, there's no constitutional right for two men to marry or two women to marry. There's nothing in the Constitution about that. There's no constitutional right, obviously, to kill an unborn baby. Mm-hmm. Or constitutional right to get operate on a child and try to turn that boy into a girl or girl into a boy. All this stuff is just made up. Because judges have become untethered from the words of the Constitution itself. And we've got to come back to it. I think that's the key. And the American people have got to educate ourselves on the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, thank you, Claude. That was a good question. We have Diane on the line from North Dakota. Diane, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Jeff and Bishop Jackson. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My comment is that my concern is that these radical Muslim leaders are like shark teeth. You pull one out, and there's just another one right behind it.
Well, yeah. I haven't thought about it quite like that, but that's probably true.
It's the fastest growing religion in the world, we're told. They're certainly having more children than Westerners are having. And look, in Great Britain, a young boy was just suspended from school because actually this was a cadet in a military training school, because they were asked, what do you think are the greatest threats to Great Britain? And kids offered their opinion. He said, well, I think one of the greatest threats to the country is Islam. They suspended him for even daring to say that.
Wow.
And they said, well, maybe if he had said radical Muslims, but no, it is. We have gotten to a point where we are so busy trying to accommodate political correctness and trying to accommodate anything that's not Christian, anything that's not Western, that we are committing societal suicide. Mm-hmm. And I think she has got a tremendous point there. If we keep accommodating Islam, Sharia law, before you know it, I think it's already happening in Europe, we're going to lose our culture and its Judeo-Christian foundations and end up with something very, very different, because that's exactly what they have in mind. I think they are fighting us with infiltration rather than with kinetic war.
Mm-hmm. I do too. Bishop, what do you think is the greater danger? Communism, socialism, same thing, or Islam taking over?
Well, you know, really they're two sides of the same coin, because they do share this in common. They share godlessness, because Islam is really godless. Allah mm-hmm. is not real. That's mm-hmm. an idol. Communism rejects God, all notions of any the existence of God. But they also have this in common. They hate America.
Mm-hmm.
They have a common ideological perspective on America, which America's bad, and somehow America's got to be brought down. So in that sense, the two of them together are really, I mean, it's a double whammy. Mm-hmm. But you know, the interesting thing is, what the communists don't realize is that if they ever took over with Muslims, the Muslims would kill them.
Right.
You know, they would not tolerate anything that is not Muslim, and certainly they wouldn't tolerate anything that they believe is against Sharia law. So it's a really interesting little partnership that they've got going there here in our country and other places in the world. But I'll tell you what, it couldn't survive. They're actually taking over, and we've got to make sure neither one of them takes over in our country.
Well, it is almost comical when you think about it, because you have the liberals using Islam and Islam using the liberals.
Yep.
And I guess both of them think that they can manipulate the other, but I'm exactly where you are. The liberals don't realize that Islam does not play ball. They will pretend to play ball until they get in power, and then they'll cut your throat.
Yeah, LGBTQ community, off the roof.
Yes.
You know, anything that the women, I mean, beaten, abused, I mean, to think that all these feminists who want to denounce our country, denounce President Trump, but they don't say anything about Iran. Iran was about to execute 8 women.
Right.
For protesting. And you don't hear peep.
Right.
So it just, the hypocrisy, their hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Well, and what's going on in Nigeria, and people have pointed out that the Pope is silent mm-hmm. on that, yet he can chastise President Trump and what he's doing. That doesn't make sense at all.
In fact, that is really downright wicked, because the president has upheld Christian principle at every turn. Now, he doesn't always behave the way we want a Christian to behave, obviously, but the president has defended Christianity and defended our right of free expression and freedom of religion in our country, and the Pope ought to be applauding that and saying something about the fact that Boko Haram and other Islamic organizations and terrorist organizations are murdering Christians by the hundreds of thousands in Nigeria and other places.
It's horrific. I heard a testimony from a mom who said her baby was pulled out of her arms and cut in half by these Muslim terrorists, and then her husband was killed, and then her 3-year-old or 4-year-old was killed. I don't know how she doesn't just die of grief, but she was sharing her story. It is just so bone-chilling, heartbreaking, so we need to be praying for them. And Bishop, thanks so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure, my friend, and I look forward to hopefully having you at First Baptist Texarkana sometime this summer or early fall.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. My pleasure. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And as our caller, Sammy, said, pray. We need to be praying, praying for our country, and praying that God would have his way. He is the King, and we look to him. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.